All right, what's going on, Rock Church fam? This is Pastor Josiah sitting here with the founding pastor, my father, if you can't tell by the white beards, bald heads. We wanted to do a little sermon recap video. We're going to try to start doing these once in a while and talk about Sunday sermon. I wanted to get Dad's thoughts on, you know, his perception of the sermon and maybe things I missed or wants to add to it in any way that he can. So Sunday, if you remember, I'll recap quickly. We talked about the tormenting spirit sent by God to Saul, who was king of Israel, and then David being brought in by God to soothe King Saul and play his harp, and then the tormenting spirit would depart from Saul, and just what all of that means for us as believers, and kind of a look at how God deals in the spiritual realm. So what were your initial thoughts?
Oh, it's such a heavy subject. My initial thoughts were kind of, because I kind of knew where you were going. My initial thoughts were the whole thing with David being called in as a worshiper. Just the power of worship to change atmosphere. So David was being brought in to change Saul's atmosphere, because Saul was guilty. And he had some things that I believe were crushing his mind. He had heavy, what we would call, conviction.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if you want to get into it quite yet, but God sending something to torment him could have been as simple as conscience. He'd been warned by the prophet, I think, multiple times about disobeying God.
Oh, right. He was definitely violating his conscience, because he'd been warned over and over again.
Yeah. And he was bringing disgrace to the God of the universe.
Yeah,
I mean, that's crazy.
Do you still see that in the church today?
Absolutely.
Can you think of practical examples? Obviously, without throwing anyone in our church under the bus, but
well, just the whole thing about a guilty conscience. You know, I believe when we sin, and I don't think that you can categorize sin, but when we sin, it pricks our conscience, it violates our conscience, and depending on the enormity of that sin, I think it can just torment us. I think we deal with that on a weekly basis, people that are tormented by their conscience. It's actually opened a door, it seems like, for the enemy to just come in and beat them up.
Yeah, it reminds me, today I was dealing with somebody that was, you know, being tormented, dealing with some issues. And it's interesting that James says, whenever the enemy is tormenting you, the first thing is to submit to God.
Yeah.
Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And it reminds me, Saul, like, if you will obey God,
right,
this tormenting spirit would flee.
Yeah.
And the same is so true in our lives.
Right.
We typically know something in our lives that shouldn't be there, whether it be a relationship, something I'm dealing with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And yet at the same time, I'm tormented and I'm suffering.
Yeah.
But my flesh doesn't want to let go of this thing.
Yeah, why wouldn't Saul repent? That's the other thing. I mean, how proud are you? If you know you've disobeyed God, you've been confronted by the prophet, and you're not given an inch, you know?
Yeah.
To the point where God ultimately disowns Saul as the king.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, and he had that warning, if I remember right. So with that was probably tormenting him too. He'd opened a lot of doors.
So why wouldn't he? What is it? I mean, it goes back to the garden, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. It goes back to really choosing the voice of the flesh, in a sense, if I can say that. And I guess that's how I'd put it.
Yeah. Wanting to be your own king.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's the same thing as Adam.
Yeah. Saul wanted to be, he didn't like the idea of God changing his mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so what about David? Let's move to David.
David's like the angel in this thing. Now, we know a lot about David because we've read a lot about David. But in this particular case, David's coming hot out of the sheep pen. You
know?
he's been known as a worshiper. Someone has encountered David to the point where they could heard about David.
Yeah.
Reputation, right?
Yep.
Reputation was as a worshiper.
a man of valor, they said, of prudent speech, and that the Lord was with, if I remember right from the scripture.
So they knew, they picked up, I can feel that right now, they picked up on that in David, and so when Saul's tormented, they recommend, which is interesting, they recommend that he bring in David and play worship
music. Right. Yeah, let's talk about the worship music for a second. Because this is obviously, I know that this is in your DNA when it comes to worship music. But you've always got the naysayers, right? Like the intellectually elite would always like pretty much push back against like overdoing worship music, like lovey-dovey.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Because people can make that the central focus of their relationship with God is I'm going to move my emotions,
right,
and play worshipy, lovey music.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This is always a tough thing for me to flesh out theologically.
I do, but there's just no way getting around the atmosphere changes when our hearts are right in worship.
Yeah.
So David wasn't just a worshiper to make it feel good.
Yeah.
David was a worshiper.
Yeah, he wasn't just chasing emotions. Right. But we know from the Psalms he was a man that was with God.
Yeah, huge. I mean, yeah. And I think that's a characteristic that pretty much marks all men that are with God. Mm. Is their presence changes the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it's not because they're perfect. It's because somehow their heart has learned to connect with the Father. And so, David, me and worship go back a long way. There's a power there. You know, you can't explain it away.
Right.
You can't always explain it.
Yeah.
But you know when you've encountered it.
What does it look like practically now?
Worship?
Just music, the way that it, you know, interacts in our spiritual lives.
Well, it's interesting what you had us do on Sunday. Just sing that one, to that one song. Just that quick, because heart posture, there was an atmosphere change, you know.
Mm.
So, yeah, what on a practical note, how do we do that? How do we do this? Yeah. You kind of showed them here's how you do this. It's not that complicated. I've been watching some young lady on YouTube that I think your sister.
Oh, the harp player that I
saw?
Yeah, I should.
All she's got is there's no drums, there's no electric stuff, there's just a harp and her.
Mm.
And it's like some of the most beautiful worship atmosphere that I've encountered in a long time. So, and some people have that gift on their voice.
Yeah. I think what they have is a God-given talent.
Yeah.
That comes from God that can't be mustered up by practice. Like you've been given something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it points to the Creator, and that's why good music, like really good music, typically brings an atmosphere with it.
Yeah, true. You know that scripture, David is a band after God's own heart. Again, we know David from studying the scriptures. David was a man after God's own heart. You know, where did that come from? Was that coming from God's relationship? Because God said it.
Mm.
So where did that come from? Was it God's, or was it David's worship that caused the Lord to say that? He's a man after my own heart. Was it his repentance? Because he was a good repenter.
Yeah. You know what I would say? Is it was his affections. God had all of David's affections, and you see it in the Psalms. And it's not just love. It's sometimes, God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
Like he threw out all of his affections on God. Sometimes he seemed almost angry with God, but he loved God and he worshiped God truly, and it moved his affections. And I think that's what music's meant to do. Mm-hmm. It moves emotion.
Right.
But I think the danger is you can end up worshiping the music itself and not God.
Sure.
Are you really thinking about Jesus when you're worshiping him?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Yeah. Or is this song just really, because listen, a good boys to men song can move your affections.
I told someone that one time, not boys to men, that was a little after me, but I told somebody, encountered the Lord as a young man, was not in the church.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't necessarily a Christian song.
Right.
But there was a presence. presence.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think there's something about that.
Yeah. Man, I think music gets better. When I say music, I mean worship music gets better the more you really learn God.
Absolutely.
In the scriptures, you know who you're worshiping.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. You draw near to God, you know, he'll draw near to you. And
yeah.
There's something about worship that draws you near.
So what practically advice would you give to people in our church to wrap this up on being one that's marked with being with the Lord? Like David was.
Well, the first thing I would remind him of, coming off of that sermon, was if you're tormented in your conscience, if you have opened a door to the enemy, God's heart is that you get set free from that torment.
Yeah.
So confess it, repent of it, and expect deliverance.
Yeah.
And how that manifests is up to the Lord.
Yeah.
And as far as being, you know, and if you want to take that further, once you've repented and you've had that, sense that forgiveness, then become a man or a woman of God. You know, go after God in worship in practical ways. You know.
Yep.
And one of them is just a daily routine. Maybe singing, maybe you don't sing good, but like someone in our church that can't sing really well tells me all the time, I make a joyful noise.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Well, sweet. I appreciate you doing this with me.
Yeah, it's an honor.
Yeah. It's so fun to do. All right, Rock Church. We love you guys, and we'll see you soon.